This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLD, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Houston, this is the SS Salty Rocket. Are we clear for takeoff?
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have liftoff.
The following program is a show intended for an adult audience. Our discussions are of a sexual nature and may contain coarse language and references to drugs.
You're with
Poor Andrew the Apprentice.
On Hide and Seek.
That's right, you are on Hide and Seek with Andrew the Apprentice, also RV Miller.
Hello, and just a reminder that we are looking to find out what you kids are all up to this weekend. Are you heading upcountry to chill out?
That's right.
Are you staying in town to love your fetish?
That's right.
Are you celebrating International Women's Day?
That's right, it is International Women's Day on this coming Saturday. Joy 94.9 has a special International Women's Day special from 10 a.m. to midday.
We also have an International Women's Day event here
right.
at Joy
there
for women from
Natal
2.
That's right. Upstairs here from Joy 94.9. So you're more than welcome to come along. If you go to the Facebook page of Joy 94.9, there is an event there. So you can get all the details there.
There's also on the Joy website, joy.org.au.
Oh,
I
there
should
we
know because I put it there.
Okay.
I'm terribly efficient.
Now in gay world, Arvie, we have things from bears to twinks and
otters. Wolves.
Cubs.
Yeah, very animal.
We're
very animal. It's very weird. But
Then
we go into, you know, we have Disney queens and we've got bikers and we do actually have non-animal types as well. Show queens. And
yes.
Then you've got, you know, the
Muscle Boys.
Muscle Boys and Muscle Marys. And you've got clones, which is very 70s. I'm aging myself on that one slightly. Your path in life as a gay man is to, I think, either to find which niche you sit in or drift from one to the other as you grow older.
That's right. Now, you know, that compares obviously to lesbians, and there's just the one group of lesbians, isn't
totally.
There?
Totally. Yeah. There's just the one group. They have cats and they move in on the second day.
Yes.
We know this is true. We're about to get beaten senseless by the two lesbians that happen to be in the studio. Welcome to Hide and Seek, Aldis and Sue.
Hi.
Hello.
Now, Aldis, how do you describe yourself in the realm of lesbianism?
You boys are going to get schooled.
this is why you're here.
Yeah. So I classify myself as a high femme. So you're femmy lesbians. You're lesbians that like to wear makeup and their heels and their dresses and stuff like that. And they're pretty and like they take a lot of pride in themselves. Whereas I'm a high femme. So I'm a step above that. I'm a bit of a princess. I'm very high maintenance. I wear my dresses and stuff. It's very rarely. You boys only see me now without makeup on because it's past my bedtime. And I go for a specific type of woman. And so that's how that levels out like that.
Should we be insulted that you didn't dress up for us?
No, not at all. Okay. It means I'm comfortable.
Right.
Oh,
okay.
Very good. Now, Sue, how do you describe yourself?
Butch lesbian. I would probably fit into that category. I'm comfortable with being a woman, but I like to dress more in the man's or with men's appearance. I'm often mistaken for a man.
And your look is jeans and t-shirt, short hair, no makeup.
Yeah, boots. You know, men's jocks.
Leather. Indeed.
Of course,
yes. We should.
The only thing I own that is girly is my bras because they don't make bras for boys.
Well, I don't know. We did have a drag queen special. I think they could disagree with you.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. So that's sort of how. But that's not what it's not all about the look, but you know.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable with that.
Now, Aldis, you run a blog called Savic City, and that includes a bit of a dictionary, I understand.
Yeah, so I put the dictionary up about 2 weeks ago because there are so many terms. And I just recently had a gay man housemate move in, and he's been teaching me about all of your terms. And he's from the UK, so they're a little bit different. But he's living with all lesbians, and he's like, what are you girls talking about? And I said, right, I'm going to put this down on paper for you, and we're going to help you out. And so basically it's a list of all your different types of identities as far as lesbians are concerned, but also like your gold stars, which is a girl who's never slept with a boy before.
Well, we have gold star gays as well, yes, which is men that haven't slept with women before.
But so, are they called gold
star? Yeah, they're called gold star gays, yeah. Mm. So we have
you
gold
star. Have a gold star.
I'm a gold star gay. He's nice. I would just like to say in this space, the one thing I win at, thank you. I don't know if it's winning, but never mind.
Yeah. So
I've made Andrew lose the plot there for a second.
I'm going to leave now.
Are you blushing?
He is blushing, ladies.
But I think the dictionary comes in handy, especially when you're not familiar to the lesbian world or you're a new lesbian. You know, you come into it and it helps you find your place a little bit.
So let's start with a new lesbian, because obviously we have the term baby gay. Mm-hmm. What would a new lesbian...
Baby dyke.
Baby dyke?
Yeah,
I think so.
Do lesbians have the same sort of... I remember my... So I came out when I was 15 and being an overachiever. But you have that frantic period in your teens or when you first come out where you don't know where you fit. So you try everything on, sometimes all at once. You know, so you've got a skirt on, but then leather on top, short hair, but lots of makeup.
Going back to the drag queen special.
Well, I'm just saying, do lesbians have that same sort of frantic, I need to find my space as quickly as possible?
I think it's individual for every girl, you know. When I came out, I was 22 and I did make my way around, like trying out different looks and stuff like that. But I always kind of stuck to the femmy kind of side because I knew what I liked. I knew how I felt about myself and I knew what kind of girls that I liked. So it just kind of happened. But I didn't know that there was terms for those kind of things, who I was, until I became a part of, like an active part of the lesbian social scene.
Yeah. And for me, it took me a long time to figure it all out. I was 25 when I came out, mm-hmm, and sort of had very long hair when I first came out, and then slowly got it, you know, cut a little bit shorter, bit by bit. But it took me a long time to figure out where I fit and what worked for me. I think it is really individual. Some girls know exactly where they fit straight up. Some don't.
Do you remember the thing that worked the least for you? Did you try something? I'm going to try doing this to see if I feel comfortable. Oh no!
The wife Sporty beater dark. And the jeans.
For you, was the wife beater.
Yeah, wife beater and jeans. Like I'm comfortable in a wife beater and stuff, but I tried once going out in a wife beater and no makeup, and I was like, nah, I'm going home. I need a pair of heels and some false eyelashes now.
Yeah, see, for me, that would be the opposite. Yeah. Sporty dyke was probably what didn't quite work for me.
What's sporty dyke?
I played football and tried to hang out with all the fit, sporty girls, and I just...
Like the hockey players. We have this vision of hockey players.
Well, rugby. I'm from Queensland, so I played rugby league.
Awesome.
And so hanging out with... And all those girls are fit, and they're solid, and they look great in their footy shorts. Uh-huh. You know, that wasn't quite my look.
But
I tried for a while.
But you appreciated the locker room, one must imagine.
Kinda.
The only reason I do sport. I mean, I'm the guy that people keep warning about sport, gays and sports about.
I was very shy back then. Ah. I was very shy.
LD, so sporty dykes or sporty lesbians can be of any shape or size or genre. No, genre's not that. But yeah, they can be, can't they?
For example, the gridiron girls at Pride March. Oh my God. Okay, so Sue and I can agree with this. They walk past me and they're stunning and they're hot. Like, they're not my type at all, but they walk past me and I'm like, sure, I'll try out.
Yeah, see, for me, they are, and I just look at it and I just cringe. I think, just exploitation galore. And
now we do need to take a quick break, but before we do roller derby girls.
I love roller derby.
Yeah, they're kind of cool.
Oh, okay. So we found the common ground.
There we go. You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. We're joined in the studio by Sue and LD. So we're learning all things lesbian tonight.
Hide and Seek.
It's your show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
The most diverse sound. For the most diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
You're on Hide and Seek, where Andrew and Avi are learning lesbian tonight.
We are. You're on Hide and Seek on Joy. You're also on Star Observer Digital, your sex, sexuality and gender diverse digital radio station.
Don't forget, if you've got a question, you can get in contact with us. This is how you do it.
listening to you. SMS 0427 Joy 949. Email on air at joy.org.au. Or call us 1300 Joy 949.
Joy 94.9.
That was Andrew testing to see if I could hit the touchscreen fast enough when he said, this is how you get in contact. I have a button. Right, I did it.
Now, we are Learning Lesbian tonight, and so we are joined by Elle Deese, Hi Femme, and Sue Butch Dyke. Yep. And so do you want to both give us a quick rundown, and maybe we can go turn in turn and we can meet in the middle? Do you reckon we can do that? About the different types. So Hi Femme's at one end.
Yep, high femme is at one end, and then you've got your butch at the other end.
And with your butch, you probably go that one step further. Oh, and this is getting a bit complicated. You stone butch.
Yeah.
Ooh, what's a stone butch?
I'm leaving that.
That sounds exciting.
Stone butch is generally a butch woman who likes to give pleasure and not receive. Essentially, there's a lot more complexities to that, but
just give.
Yes.
But would that be?
And they have their own ways of. It works.
But is that a submissive role sexually or a dominant role?
Very, very dominant.
Wow.
Completely, totally dominant.
Because if you think of the gay male aspect, the person who gives pleasure as opposed to necessarily receiving pleasure would sometimes or more often be the submissive one, which is kind of interesting that the ladies have flipped that on its head and the dominant one is the one giving.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. So they don't. Oh,
yeah. Are you going to get into trouble at the next
one? No, not at all. It's just hard to explain because everybody is individual and so everybody has their own limitations.
Yes. No, everyone is a beautiful, unique snowflake just like everyone else.
True. Well, we'll start. Okay, so let's start with the high femmes.
Yes.
So you've got your high femmes and then you've also got your stone femmes, who are those girls who don't. They receive pleasure, but they don't give it.
Right.
So your stone femmes and your stone butchers go together.
Yeah.
If a stone femme finds a stone butcher to love for the ages.
Yeah.
Or at least for tonight.
In the sack, anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, if you like to give and receive and you're with someone else who doesn't, then it's kind of not going to work.
Kind of like two bottoms and two gay bottoms trying to hook up.
See, I'm learning about this with my house.
Yeah, there you go.
I come downstairs and I'm like, how did it go last night? He goes, it was a sword fight.
Oh, he sounds like he's the only top in Melbourne.
I know.
I should introduce you guys.
No, he needs to come on Hide and Seek so we can put him in a museum. The last top in Melbourne.
What happened to all the tops in Melbourne?
There aren't any.
Why?
Apparently they've all gone to Sydney.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, Sydney's apparently my housemate's going to the wrong bars then.
Oh, no, Melbourne is full of bottoms.
There you go.
Completely full of. If he's managed to find another top in Melbourne, then he needs to tell us who that
two
is.
Two in a row now.
Oh, I know.
There's three of them getting around.
Anyway,
back to the point.
Back to the girls.
So you're high femme, and then you're stone femme, and then you've got like your just me kind of girls.
Oh, I'm glad you said that because I was a bit scared to use that word.
Yeah.
Just me.
Yeah, I've got a couple of friends that do that. Like, they wear dresses when they want to, or they wear jeans when they want to, they wear makeup. They're just a bit, whatever floats their boat. Oh,
they're, in inverted commas, normal.
My just me's are different to your just me's.
Oh.
Okay, well, I'll get to the middle, and then you can tell me what it is. And then I'd say you've got, your tomboys?
Yeah.
See, I this is where I start to, my level of attractiveness goes up. once they start to put on jeans and suits and stuff, I'm okay with that. So, like, you've got your tomboys, and then Sue, where would you go from that?
So I know there's a term, soft butch, but I mean it's. Someone once to me said, what is soft butch? Can you be, you're either butch or you're not. So, for me, I guess there's an extra level. I class myself as a butch bottom, so I'm submissive. Mm-hmm. So and some butchers might look at me and think, oh, why would you? But anyway, that's how I am. So I think you're probably heading towards going from your tomboy through to your submissive butch and then your butch.
And where do things like, first of all, the question I have, and I'm going to use the word because I need to be possibly politically correct, the word dyke, is that Have you reclaimed the word? Can we call people Diesel Dykes and Butch Dykes, or is that a word that you guys get to use because you are one and we don't get to use because we're not one?
I had my neighbour call me a dyke the other day. She said to me, "You're a dyke, you'll understand," and I took offence to that.
Right. So it's context.
It was meant in a derogatory way.
Right.
But I think if you identify as a Diesel Dyke,
that's fine.
Then you can be called a dyke.
Yeah, and the Diesel Dyke, I think it's such a an old... I haven't heard that word for such a long time. Someone be called a Diesel Dyke.
But that's sort of basically the Dykes on Bikes type.
I would think
that your Diesel Dyke is like your truck driver.
I was just going to say, it's probably more like your trucker.
Okay.
Trucker kind of. But then that's putting people in a box as well. So yeah. I know I've got lots of great trucker... lesbian friends who I wouldn't call them Diesel Dyke. So
I am waiting for the day that I meet a lovely trucker lesbian who, when she goes out, is in heels and a skirt and makeup. And
I'm sure they're out there.
And it's just like, you know, one of my close friends is what we would call a blouse, which is a very feminine top.
Boy.
Male.
Right.
Sorry. So, you know, you have that sort of ironic presentation, for want of a better word, where you present what looks like a massive bottom or looks like very butch, but in reality or sexually perhaps the reverse is in fact true, which is kind of fun.
Hide and seek.
Joy 94.9.
Andrew the Apprentice and Avi Miller are with you on Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Now, Avi, I mean, generally we do this in the realm of the gay male, but tonight it is in the lead up to International Women's Day. Sounds a little bit tokenistic, doesn't it? But it's not really.
Well, we have to acknowledge that Hide and Seek usually has a gay male audience.
Yes.
And so we are educating...
Ourselves
and our gay male audience on how to interact better with their lesbian friends.
That's right.
And if you don't have a lesbian friend, then shame on you. You should go and get one. You need a token lesbian friend.
Okay, so just an FYI. So your fag hags, our equivalent is the lesbro. So you could be a lesbro.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, is a lesbro straight?
Doesn't matter. Generally, yes. Yeah. But, like, you can still be a lesbro. But I say that I'm not a fag hag when I go out with my gay male friends because I'm a lesbian, so I don't count.
Yeah,
because the idea behind a fag hag is the straight girlfriend. I like lesbro. The only one I'd heard before is fruit fly. For the gay man that hangs out with lesbians as a fruit fly.
I like that. I'm going to keep that one.
There you go.
So, LDs, in Melbourne in particular, we've heard that the lesbian scene is dead, that the lesbians don't have anywhere to go. So, whereas in the gay male scene, at least, we sort of have a bit of north side, south side, where we have a bit of, you know, there's certain types traditionally have been on the south side and other types traditionally been on the north side. What happens for the lesbian scene?
If you're young, then you go to certain clubs on certain nights. You know, you've got this club on a Saturday night, you've got this club on a Friday night, and they're all the same and they're all really boring.
And do you get... Is it all femmes or is it all dykes?
Baby dykes.
Right.
All baby dykes.
Lipstick lesbians as well?
Yeah. And the lipsticks.
Yeah. And just for reference, lipsticks are generally girls who... Both femme kind of girls that are together.
Right.
So these are like... I think that the young lesbians, they treat, not that I'm not young, but they, like, you're 19, 18, 20-year-olds, they treat these bars and these nights as, like, your safe place to go to, like, to experiment and to be with your people and stuff like that, whereas when you get a little bit older, you're more comfortable going out in your pubs and clubs and whatever. But it's right, you're right, there is nowhere for us to go. Like, we had the Glass House and it's gone. And I would love to, like, a nice little lesbian bar that I could go and play a game of pool in every now and then.
What is being a lesbian like in a, and I'm going to use the word, but in a straight pub?
For me, unpleasant, because I'm obviously gay, blatantly gay. So in a straight pub, actually, yeah, it's quite unpleasant because a lot of the obnoxious, drunk, yobbo blokes think it's okay to have a go. For the femme girls, it's a little bit easier because you blend in a bit
We do.
Sometimes.
But I date butch girls. So yeah. I'm on the arm of my partner when we walk into a bar, and when she gets subjected to things, like she often gets subjected to taunting. Or I cop the drunken straight men like going, I could turn you. Oh, you're too hot to be a lesbian. Come and hang out with me. And I just want to tell them to F off. But we have been in a couple of bars where we've been abused and we've had to leave or had to get security because it is like, you're right. Me, myself, by myself, I can blend in and I can quite easily just blend into the crowd and not make a big deal about it. And most of my friends can too. But because I date butch women, it is like you can't hide that. And not that I want to, but it is harder. So we tend to avoid straight bars.
And my partner's the same. She blends in very easily with anyone. But for me, yeah, not so easy. So I tend to just not go to places like that.
So we made a joke at the top of the hour that all lesbians move in together after 2 weeks of dating after they've been to IKEA.
And gotten the puppy.
And bought the Subaru. Now, is it the case, though, that the lesbian scene in Melbourne, at least, has dwindled because... Why is that? One proposition has been that it's because couples do couple up very quickly.
Yeah, that's potentially part of it.
It's always been like that, though.
For a long time. I can't. If I had that answer, I would be very rich.
Yes, because you would have the biggest venue,
and I would have the biggest, best venue that known to women. I still haven't been able to put my finger on that. We struggle with Vic Leather. I'm the president of Vic Leather, and we struggle with that, trying to get women to events. Some of it is because there are a lot of men only events and venues, but. Yeah, it's an answer. I don't have an answer.
And it's possibly a catch-22 because there isn't a women-only space. Mm-hmm. You can't have women-only events, so women don't come to Vic Leather events because it's not at a women-only space, but you don't have a women-only anywhere.
Or you're in a space that's traditionally men-only, so some of them feel a little put off by going to a space that's, well, I can't come here normally, so why should I be allowed to come? So, and, you know, everyone's got their own opinion with that. It is very catch-22.
Eldis, do you have any thoughts as to why?
I don't know, because as far as your U-Haul theory goes, the lesbian couples, we break up as quickly as we move into the you know. They say that the honeymoon period, the U-Haul period, lasts from 3 to 18 months because that's how long that honeymoon effect, like the chemicals in your brains, last. And so, you know, 18 months later you're breaking up, or as soon as winter's over and you don't need someone to warm your feet at night.
Just say I think I lost my lesbian badge because my girlfriend and I still haven't moved in together, and she's been in Melbourne for 6 months. She moved from another state and we didn't move in together.
Well, a good effort. I'm proud of that. Mm-hmm. Good way to go. My girlfriend moved in after 5 months, so.
Yeah, yep. That's still pretty impressive.
Yeah, I refused. I said to my friends at like 3 months, I'm like, I wanted to move in, and they're like, don't. And I said, I'll wait.
Wait, no, if I could, yeah. It's so worth it. It makes it, anyway, yeah.
Great topics, great radio.
Hide and Seek.
Touching our community right around the nation.
Hide and Seek.
Reaching far and wide. Stream us now. Joy 94.9.
That's right. Andrew the Apprentice and RV Miller are with you. Eldis and Sue are also joining us because we're learning lesbian.
We are. We're getting our cert for in lesbianism.
Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to the practical, I will admit.
We'll skip that one. Now, Eldis and Sue have been talking about how the gay Melbourne scene is pretty non-existent. Sorry, gay lesbian scene is pretty non-existent. And one of your things was that potentially it's because, in your perception, lesbians don't support things regularly. They'll do a once a month or something or other. Mm-hmm. Eldis, you're a recent volunteer here at Joy 94.9, and that's one of the things that Joy has always struggled with. We have this belief, I guess, shall we say, that you know, we an expectation, shall we say, that it's 50% male, 50% female, but we struggle to get females in the door.
Definitely. I walked into the Taster Radio course and SJ, the program director here, was just like, oh my God, we need you on the air. Like, you have to stay. And she's holding on to me with dear life because you need more women. And I have to admit that I never listened to Joy a lot before I did the Taster Radio course because there are a lot of men and there's not a lot of lesbians.
But again, it's almost a self-perpetuating problem.
Totally.
Lesbians don't listen to Joy because there are too many men, so there are not enough lesbians on Joy. So if you are a lesbian and you're listening to Hide and Seek, A, thank you, and B, you should come and do the Taster Radio course and come on to Joy.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, is there a way to get lesbian communities more engaged with the broader LGBTI communities? Sue? And you can speak as this as a president of a community.
It's difficult.
Group.
It's something that I'm still trying to grapple with and try to come up with an answer to that because it's wider than like it just might, the organisation that I'm involved with. It's ever since I've been out for what, 15 years or so and come from a Queensland Brisbane community and it's been the same. It was the same then. Regular lesbian events aren't well attended or supported over a long period of time. So I don't know what the answer is. I'm still trying to come. If anyone's got any great ideas out there, let me know. because, I don't know what the answer is.
And eventually one would hope there would be a market or a... I mean, some entrepreneur has got a... You try at least try a couple of times and fail, but find that secret sauce.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think even it's not even just Australia wide. I think it's traditionally worldwide. I think it's a struggle for women only events, and when I'm talking regular, you know, like week in, week out, every Friday, Saturday, Sunday night kind of venues like the Laird and things like that.
Yeah.
And as you said, community groups as well.
Yeah. I mean, we're lucky. We've got a pretty good number of women who are members. But we have a lot of pansexual. We've got a huge diverse group.
Range of women.
And the women there are not necessarily lesbian. We have a lot of straight women, a lot of bi women, a lot of, you know, lots of different.
Let's get controversial at 22 minutes to 11. Is it perhaps because women's sexuality in the general sense tends to be more fluid than male sexuality? That women go through more sexuality presentation, if you like? I'm throwing a chicken amongst them. They're both staring.
I don't know what you're saying. I'm walking away slowly backwards.
If you never hear from me again, I went down in the pile of lesbians.
This is the worst place to go. I was just going to say, be careful.
No, but I mean, we're told in the mass media that feminine sexuality is more fluid, that women do tend to experiment with their sexuality. They sometimes have lesbian relationships, then they'll have male heterosexual relationships, then go back to lesbianism, and yet they don't necessarily identify as bisexual during that. They will, when they're with a woman, identify as a lesbian and then identify as straight. And
I think it depends on the person again, but in the 21st century sexuality is a lot more fluid and people are a lot more open to those kind of things. So I think, like, especially if you're a teenager at school and you've got a girlfriend, then, you know, that's okay. And then if you go to a boyfriend, then, you know, that's still okay. But I personally believe I'm a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I am, you know. And I think there are a lot of girls out there, but there are, like me, but there are also a lot of girls that are like, well, you know, I'm a lesbian now. But like you said, I'm a lesbian now, but then I'll go back to men. And, you know, I've got a couple of friends who are like that. Yeah. I've got one friend who identifies as a lesbian, but she's dating men at the moment. So she comes to all of our events with us and she's amazing and we love her, but she's still dating men. And I'm like, oh, what are you doing?
Now, LDC, in the 21st century, I think... Women can still have children, and
I'm glad you cleared that up for us, Andrew. And we weren't aware, but thank you for that.
My ovaries are nodding in agreement. What's your point?
But I suppose as a gay man, you grow up when you come out, you go through a process of I'm not going to have children. For me, that's and I think that's similar for a majority, I would think, of gay men to some point.
Still. Yes.
Because having for gay men to have children is years of work.
Mm.
It's not drunken fumbling in the back of a car.
I used to work in IVF. It is a long process, and there are a lot of counselling, and not only finding the right surrogate, but like months and months of counselling to make sure that's what you want.
And you can't have commercial surrogacy in Australia, for example. So if you try to go down the adoption route, that's even more years of analysis and acceptance and forms and cleaning the house, which, quite frankly, who can be bothered?
So my question, I guess, is there still an expectation amongst the broader lesbian community that they still will have children at some point?
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. My partner and I had been together for about, I don't know, 6 weeks, and people had already started asking us, like, who would have the children. That is one of the first questions you get asked, and I think it's kind of offensive. Who has the children? And my partner and I have had this discussion, and I won't go into details, but we know where we stand on that. And sometimes it shocks people, sometimes it doesn't, but, like, it's nobody else's business who's having the baby, but it is something that is expected. You are women, you will have children.
And that's so different to my experience of the gay scene.
I think for me it's not expected, but I think women used to think to have a baby, they used to think that they had to get married.
Yes.
Whereas that's changed.
That's changed now.
If you're a woman and you want to have a baby, you can be whatever you want.
It's relatively simple.
To a degree. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It's all the mechanics are there. It's just, you know, making it work.
Just grabbing the turkey.
But previously, and that's why I think we see a lot of older women who have children now who are only just becoming lesbians, because they thought they desperately wanted children, so they had to get married. And that's what they did. But you don't have to do that anymore.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. We are talking about, we're finding out about the lesbian community with Sue and LD.
Joy. Hide and seek.
So sexy it hurts.
Andrew and Avi are on Hide and Seek with you. We are learning lesbian with Eldis and Sue. Now, we've been talking about how, okay, so there's no physical venues for lesbians to go to. I take it, therefore, how does online dating work for the lesbian scene? Because for us...
that was a visceral response. Good Lord.
Because for gay boys, we've got... you know, a range of options.
We have an option. You know, you were going through the types of lesbians. We have an app for each of them.
We have one app. Apparently it's called Brenda.
Brenda. And there's also Finder.
Oh, Brenda does work. I won't mention any names. She'll kill me. But it does work, apparently.
And yeah, so we've got Brenda, we've got Finder, and we've got the Sofa. So Pink Sofa.
Mm. Yes.
And I'll admit, like most of my friends, we've all sat on the sofa at a time or another, but I have not actually been on there to date. I was on Pink Sofa when I first came out because I didn't have any lesbian friends. And I was like, well, I need to get into the scene, so I need to meet lesbians.
Sure.
Where do I meet lesbians?
Yes.
Mm. It's not like
gay boys, you can go down the park.
Yeah, exactly. But I have one friend in particular, and she's newly single, and she's on all of them. Mm. And she is using it much the same as I have, what I've heard that you boys use it. And she is meeting girls, and she is hooking up with girls, and she's just moving on to the next one. That's how she's using them.
So blow a stereotype here. Lesbians have anonymous one-night stands. They're into...
Not generally.
No. I think it depends on
it's
who you are, but
the U-Haul.
Yeah, most of us are very monogamous.
Oh.
No. Okay, monogamous might not be the right word.
Most of us
like emotionally
in a
monogamous
relationship.
Monogamish?
The one
night stands generally don't happen a lot.
They happen a little. Usually but if it's foul play, it's like you're in a long term relationship and you cheat on her with your ex.
With your best mate. with your girlfriend's best mate.
Right, okay.
That's generally how it works. And then 3 months later everyone's friends and they sit down and have coffee and it's lovely.
And then do you do the ABBA thing where you just swap partners? Oh. I mean, if you're having sex with her best mate and she's having sex with your best
mate.
I've
got some friends that do that, but I refuse.
Okay. I've never done it, and I point blankly will walk away from a 10-year friendship before I would ever let that happen.
Right.
But yeah, it happens.
You don't screw the crew.
Oh, no, you don't screw the crew.
Because it's just awkward. And then when you break up with your ex-girlfriend, they become friends anyway. So, you know, there's enough awkward already. You don't need to be having sex with your friends.
See, I think, Avi, we're learning out lesbians are weird.
Yeah, well, no, I was just saying.
Okay, so emotionally slutty.
One of the things that I realized every year when I go to something like Midsummer or Chill Out Carnival Day, I realize that the community's bigger than I always imagine, because I go to my venues, I go to my parties, and I see my people, and every party that I go to at these venues, they're the same people.
Yes.
Whereas you go to a Midsummer or a Carnival Day and there are thousands more people.
And there are people that only come out once a year.
Yeah. Mm. Is that the same? What is the size of the community like, is what I'm getting to with Melbourne's lesbian community. Is it a big community? Is it niche pockets of...
I think it's huge, personally, because I love going Carnival Day. Midsummer Carnival is my favourite day, because you rock up and there are just lesbians everywhere, and there's gay men everywhere too, but it's like a big happy family, and people run around going, happy carnival, you know, it's like a big holiday celebration. And there are so many people that you've never seen before, and you could have been out for 10 years and you're like, oh, I've been out for 10 years and I've lived in Melbourne my whole life. Oh, me too, I've never seen you before. Because we go to different events, and you're right, I see the same people at every party that I go to, because it's the same venues, same people that organise it, and that's my little niche, whereas some people don't go out at all. Some people like to just like do their book clubs and stuff.
And that's partly coming back to the question before about, you know, why, you know, venues and events and things like that don't work, because the, I don't know, whether they're the happy people or the smart people or whatever, they stay at home and they enjoy the company of their good close friends, and they, you know, barbecues and picnics and do whatever they do. And then whether it's right or wrong, and then once a year they come out of the woodwork and all congregate in a big park.
I think it helps that it's a family day too. You know, so you can bring your kids out and stuff too.
But then, so if you, what advice would you give for a lesbian who decides to move to Melbourne or move to a new city? How do you find new friends? I'm new to the city. I'm new to a city.
Go to everything. Just go to anything you can. Say yes.
Right.
That's a good friend of mine and myself, but a really good friend of mine. She moved over from overseas. She just said yes to everything.
And just tried it on for a day.
Everything. You know, every time she was invited to something, she went.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually she found leather, found us.
Cool.
And, you know, hasn't looked back, but because she went to everything.
I would say hit up Facebook, because there are so many Facebook groups. There's so many, like, for your different niches. So you've got, like, your butch and femme groups, and you've got your tomboy groups, and you've got your leather groups, and you've got your BDSM groups, and you can talk to people about what you like and what you're into and where should you go. And like, once you've got that one person that you know, then, you know, you're in.
What are the lesbian-centric community groups like in Melbourne? Obviously, we have a whole bunch of community service announcements for, you know, Wattle, which is west of Docklands, I think.
Yes.
And are there lesbian community groups, lesbian sporting teams, for example, that women could take part in?
There's tennis, there's football.
Yeah, there's pretty much sporting across...
Yeah.
As broad as for the guys.
I'm a member of an all-lesbian netball team. They're everywhere. You just need to look for them, because they're not widely publicised. So, yeah, you just need to look, because we don't come out and go, hi, we're here. Actually have to come
and people aren't going to come knocking on your door. You've got to go and look for what you want.
Why? Okay, so it's 10 minutes to 11. We've got 10 minutes left, 5 minutes of which are... why don't you go and announce that you're an all-lesbian netball team and... Or do you have all your people on your team and you don't want more lesbians?
I found the girls via Google.
Mm-hmm.
So I just Googled queer netball team and the alternatives came up, and that's great. But we're just a nice small little community team, and it's not a big deal. But I think one day it'd be great to have like a lesbian league so we could all play each other. But, you know, there'd be lots of bumping and grinding going on. But I don't know. Like, Sue, why don't you think that we put it out there?
I don't think it's intentional. I think it's like, you don't advertise a straight netball team. So you're not advertising a gay netball team. I think it's just...
Yeah, but I suppose that one imagines that the default for a sports team is straight. Therefore,
women.
Well, fair call, I suppose.
Generalizing, but most female, especially if you start looking at the high level sports women.
So, who's going to the art games in Darwin? Who's going to go check out the international sports?
I would love to. I had friends that went to, where was it last year? I can't even remember, but they went last year to Europe and oh my God, the story I want in.
Now, the other big lesbian event is of course, Chill Out. that has a reputation that all the lesbians head to Chill Out for the weekend.
God, I hope so. I'm going there for the first time this weekend.
Oh, it's great. I had so much fun last year.
My partner and I are riding our motorbikes up. We've packed our esky and
are
stuff.
You riding in the parade?
Oh, no, we're not, but we
said... Do you want to? Because Sue could probably hook you up.
Registration closed today.
Oh.
Well, I've never been, so I think one year it'd be good to watch, and then maybe next year we'll ride in the parade. Yeah.
There you go.
I'll introduce you to the Darks on bikes. They'll love you.
So, Eldice, you're on Joy now, and hopefully a lot more very soon. And so you encourage everyone to all the lesbian community to engage with the community at a broader level.
Yes, rock in, come talk to me.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have some fun and get your stuff on the air. It'll be great.
Cool.
And come and do the Taste of Radio course too, because that's great fun.
And as we said before, your blog is called Sapphic City.
Yep, with a double PH.
Double PH.
Yep. Quick plug, last week on the topic, I actually wrote a blog called Dear Butch Love Femme. And so you need to read that. You boys need to read that because it will educate you.
Awesome.
Now, Sue, thank you so much for joining us.
That's okay.
Vic Leather is going strong.
We are. We're going very well. We've made some really good progress in the last 12 months. So things are looking up. We've got plans are in starting for Black Ball 3, which is pretty exciting.
You've been really busy this year. I know that you guys now, and even this weekend, you're doing Cloakroom for Love Fetish.
We are.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah, and look, and again, you know, on the whole women theme, you know, having a woman as the president of a traditionally men, I guess, run kind of organisation, then.
Very cool.
It's pretty exciting.
So vicleather.org.au.
That's correct.
Is where you get all the details. Sue and LDs, thank you so much for educating Arvi and myself and hopefully our listeners too.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.